It's alive, your news night is on Joy 89.7 FM. We're staying on the protest today across the country by the National Democratic Congress demanding a forensic audit into the voters' register. And we have been hearing in the last hour from the NDC, they've now issued to the Electoral Commission a one-week ultimatum for the EC to address their demands, or there will be further protest across the country. We'll be hearing from the NDC's communications officer pretty shortly. But today, MFR Powell, the national chairman himself, led this protest. And at the Electoral Commission, he did not mince words in laying out their host of demands that they want the Electoral Commission to deal with. Listen to John Sasudin Kitia.
The National Democratic Congress, in the spirit of safeguarding Ghana's democratic process for free, fair, transparent, and peaceful elections on December 7, 2024, respectfully petition the Electoral Commission to do the following. Number one, permit an independent forensic audit of the voter register and the Commission's IT systems, which we suspect have been seriously compromised, because we have seen actions they have sworn by the gods of Ghana to us that those actions can never happen behind our backs. But they themselves have attested to the fact that those very actions have taken place through manipulation of their system. Number two, we demand that the Commission convene stakeholders for collaboration. The Electoral Commission should urgently convene a meeting with all political parties, civil society organizations, and key international stakeholders, including ECOWAS, who are fond of deploying only military when there is crisis. We want them to come and help us take preemptive actions against crisis that is brewing. It takes money, time, and effort. Africa Union, UNDP, European Union, and USAID, the British High Commission, and others, to discuss the forensic audit and ensure collective oversight of our electoral process. We demand that the Electoral Commission will agree to publish the findings of any such forensic audit and make them public and available to ensure transparency, accountability, fairness, and integrity of the 2024 general elections. If the findings of the forensic audit suggest, as we believe, that the register has been badly compromised, then we demand that there will be a re-exhibition of the register after the forensic audit, so that we'll be able to check everything that has gone wrong in the register and prepare ourselves for a credible election. We want the Commission to review and correct all the unauthorized transfers which they themselves have admitted to. We want the Commission to institute accountability and integrity to ensure that what we are witnessing now will never happen. Systems, it is in your interest that we all look for it. All right.
That's the chairman of the NDC, Johnson Asiedu Nketiah. We'll be hearing from the minority leader, also making that push for a recall of parliament to be able to compel the EC to conduct that forensic audit. But we can hear from the national communications officer of the NDC, Sammy Jinfi, in the last few minutes telling us about that one-week ultimatum that they are giving to the Electoral Commission.
We have decided to wait for just a week to know how they are going to respond. It is our expectation that they will do the needful, because clearly the intransigence they are displaying is not in the interest of Ghana. It is not even in their own interest. Look, Ghana is the only country we have. Many Ghanaians, those who came ahead of us, our forebears, have made sacrifices for the peace and stability we enjoy today. The least the Jumanza-led Electoral Commission can do is to preserve the peace we are enjoying. Elections are important because they are the platform through which the people choose who their leaders are.
So Sami, I was trying to find out from you that after your 1 week ultimatum, if nothing happens on the part of the EC, what next?
What you saw today is just a tip of the iceberg in terms of what we will do to demand transparency, fairness, accountability, and justice from the Electoral Commission. And we are not going to take guns. We are not going to take knives to kill anybody. We are not going to fight anybody. We are a law-abiding, peaceful political party. We are peaceful, law-abiding, and responsible citizens. And so we will do what the Constitution of Ghana allows us to do, which is to protest. And so we will hold protest after protest, not only in regional capitals, but even in all district offices of the EC, to drum home the point, to bring sufficient pressure to bear on the Electoral Commission to do the needful. My brother, if you have done nothing wrong, if you have not manipulated the register, if the register, okay, is sacrosanct as they claim, and they have nothing to hide, why are they running away from a simple audit?
So that's the National Communications Officer of the NDC, Sami Jenfi, a while ago on Top Story, on that 1 week ultimatum that you're giving to the Electoral Commission in terms of the conduct of the forensic audit, for which reason they embarked on that nationwide enough is enough demo. I think it's a good time to hit the regions to find out how that demonstration was observed in the entire country. And maybe we start with my colleague Anas Sabit, who monitored the protest from the Bono East region. Let's hear his report.
So this is the Bono-Ishunga version of the Ishunga demonstration, an exercise that has been conducted by the National Democratic Congress, expressing their displeasure with the conduct of the Electoral Commission. They are calling for the EC to audit the current voters' register, but the EC, according to them, is not heeding to this particular call. So as I speak to you, you know, all 11 parliamentary candidates of the National Democratic Congress within the Bono-Ishunga region are here to participate in this exercise. We've been speaking with some prominent people within the party, including some MPs who are here to place a delegation. And let's listen to what they've been telling us in relation to why this exercise is pretty important to members of the National Democratic Congress.
Very important to know, because Ghana's democracy is extremely important to me. But what we are asking for, I've said it, is very simple. We just need a transparent election. We need an independent audit. We need something that will let people trust in our democracy. So we are calling the EC, we are calling the American Embassy, we are calling the EU, everybody that matters in Ghana should come out and tell these people to at least understand what we are asking for.
And the call on the EU is one that we've been focusing on. We've seen some international organizations like ECOWAS now speaking to us about whether or not they will participate or finance an audit of the register. We'll get into that pretty shortly, but I want to take you to the northern region, where there have been allegations today as part of the protest of an attempt by the Electoral Commission to rig the 2024 elections. Martina Bugri has more.
EC supporters defied the heavy downpour and poured out in their numbers to protest against the EC. Those who could not join the protest stood on the shoulders of the road, cheering them out. Some of the slogans that were heard were Sheko Shebe Katidago, which literally means you either step down or we push you out. Some of the placards read enough is enough, audits are registered, we want free and fair elections, among others, speaking after the presentation of the petition. The Northern Regional Chairman of the NDC, Adolf Ali, said if other constituencies in the MPP presidential elections had scrutinized their results properly, they would have found similar irregularities that annulled the Wale Wale elections, adding that it is the same tactics the EC wants to use to get the MPP to power.
MPP, when they say they are going to break the eight, they don't have the moral right to rule Ghana 1 second after 7th December 2024. And so when they are saying they want to break the eight, these are some of the things that they have at the back of their minds, and so they talk the way they are talking. What is it? Bawumia's home yard, Bawumia's backyard in Walewale. What didn't happen?
The Northern Regional Secretary of the NDC, Mohammed Abdul Salam, said they will continue to protest until the EC address their concern.
Well, from the Northern region, let me take you to the Upper West region, where our regional correspondent Rafiq Salam reports from WA.
Hoisting aloft dozens of placards, some of which read, "Where are the voices of concerns? Speak up. Ghana is in the hands of wrong Ghanaians. When the wicked rules, the people suffer. Peace starts with credible register. EC, we need proof that the register is robust. Allow for audit now. And Jane Mensa is a national disgrace." The demonstrators, couple of times, pause at the main traffic light at Sapairi and at the Sano corner at Koguri for an address from the various parliamentary candidates and the party's regional chairman.
"Because it's overbloated, people have been transferred without their will, without their permission, and names are appearing total. This register is not fit for purpose. And after that forensic audit, we are asking that we should have another exhibition for us to all see, without fair, credible, and transparent elections. We cannot have peace in this country.
They are mandated to ensure free, fair, and credible elections. We are not interested in anything short of a credible voters register.
Amid the handing over of the petition to the Upper West Regional Director of the EC, Ali Usman Adamu, by the Upper West Regional Chairman of the party, Chairman Munas, were burning of car ties and singing of revolutionary songs from the supporters. Ali Usman Adamu, upon receiving the petition, pledged to do the needful.
"Right from here, will be sent to the head office of the commission very urgently. And then the hard copy will also move from WA to the head office today. So that's the assurance I can give you. I will only be a conduit to send these things to the head office, and I will definitely do that."
Reporting for VA News, Rafiq Salam, WA.
Well, so that's Rafiq Salam's report. Well, we've been joined in the studio also by our correspondent who's been following the flag bearer. I'm sure many are wondering where the flag bearer was in all this, but Maxwell, stay with me. We'll come to you shortly. Sure. But let's hear from a deputy commissioner in charge of operations at the Electoral Commission, Sam Otete, who received the petition from the NDC's chairman, Johnson Asiedu-Nketiah, earlier today, and assured the NDC that their demands will be looked into.
Don't worry. Thank you very much, and let me welcome you to the corporate head office of the commission. On behalf of the commission, I will receive your petition, and I will assure you that your petition will be presented to the commission for consideration. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's Mr. Samuel Tete there. They went to Parliament also, he's within the same vicinity, and receiving this particular petition. The minority leader, Dr. Kaiser Latuforsing, also says his side will meet to consider pushing for a recall of Parliament to look into the request by the NDC. He spoke after he received the NDC petition on behalf of the Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin.
"Well, let me say that no one should be allowed to mess with the peace of our country. We cannot allow the Electoral Commission to destroy the most enduring democracy of this republic. Unfortunately, this petition is coming at a time that Parliament is on recess. But I strongly believe that if there is anything that will warrant an emergency recall of Parliament, this is certainly one of them. So the NDC minority will immediately convene a caucus meeting and consider
the need to reform Parliament to address this issue. We consider this as an emergency, and just like my colleague has done in the past, we will do similar by reforming Parliament to address the very concerns that you have raised. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
And he had this response from the Majority Leader, Alexander Fanyomake.
I agree with the minority that as a house, we may have to look at the issues presented. And I encourage all stakeholders to also avail themselves. I stand here, it's a record of having taken easy to the Supreme Court to stop a war. These assembly elections for some irregularities and illegalities. And I made my case at the Supreme Court. That's a matter of record. And I believe that if there are genuine concerns, we can all raise it and discuss them on the table by phone, lawful means. So I thank you for making time to get to us. I'm sure Mrs. Speaker would hear your prayer.
And that's the Majority Leader, Alexander Afenyomarkin, there, receiving that petition together with the Minority Leader, Dr. Keith Olatufosin. And I indicated earlier that my colleague, Maxwell Ababa, is with us in the studios. He's an embed with the flag bearer of the NDC, John Dramani Mahama's team. And people are wondering where the flag bearer is himself. Maxwell, you've been finding out.
So we know that he wasn't at any of the protests today. He ended his tour, the second phase of the Great Accra Regional Tour, yesterday, very late in the evening, sometime around 11 p.m. in the Domi Kwabena constituency. Mm-hmm. And he's scheduled to actually start his tour of the Hafo region today and then end that on the 19th September. Mm-hmm. From people we've been hearing from, we are told that he has the firm belief that the top brass of the party would be able to represent him and then communicate whatever that he wanted. You know, we'd have loved to communicate to the party members, you know, there. So he was represented by the top brass of the party, okay, but he was not present at any of the protests in any of the regions.
Yeah. Well, I must say that Evan's great reporting from Maxwell Agugba and the team on the ground, Sarah Mensah and the team.
Yeah,
it was covered, and they're across the country as well, at least.
Yeah,
at least
it was a long walk.
Yeah, very long walk.
More than 5 kilometers, yeah.
I'm sure you've lost a lot today from the Banku that you've eaten.
10 kg.
Thank you, Maxwell Agugba and the team, for that coverage of the Enough is Enough demonstration across the country.
I want to bring in right now the chairperson of the Civic Forum Initiative, Dr. Angela Dramanabwaja, who joins us on the line right now. Dr. Dramanabwaja, thanks for your time here on Newsnight.
Thank you.
I noticed that you back an independent audit of the voters' register. Why?
Well, we think that it's important for us to have a credible register. We think that the EC is working hard at it. And we also know that the NDC has raised issues about the register. We are not even thinking about a forensic audit. I think we can come to the table and agree on a very reasonable way of auditing this register to the satisfaction of all parties. And believe me, it's beyond the NDC. It's for all Ghanaians. So if such issues have been raised, some of which have been shared with the EC and the public, I think that it's okay if we have a sort of an independent audit.
Have you reached out to the EC already on this?
Well, we started talking, and I'm sure it will continue.
But if you listen to the EC, there's no basis for an audit, whether independent or forensic.
Yes, but I think that when two parties sit at the table, and even beyond the two parties, other parties join, we can come to some agreement about what's possible. So we shouldn't shut the door. The EC hasn't shut its door to dialogue, okay? I'm sure the NDC, being a reasonable party, would also continue to dialogue. And I think that when two people are reasonable enough, or two parties are reasonable, they can reach an applicable agreement that everybody can live by.
What about the NDC? Have you reached out to them?
That's also started.
But their position sounds very entrenched. They want this or nothing else. In fact, today they've issued a one-week ultimatum to the Electoral Commission to comply, or we're going to see more protests.
Well, I'm sure that the NDC wants to keep Ghana together so that if it should come into power, it will have people to rule over, okay? So, I mean, even though they have every right to demonstrate and so on, how long can it go on? At a point, we all have to break and sit down at the table. And mediating is nothing new, okay? It happens all across our sub-region. It happens in globally and so on. So this is something that I believe it's a bridge we will cross.
When you request for an independent audit, is it based on an assumption at the Civic Forum Initiative that there may be something fundamentally flawed with the register as we have it?
It may not even be fundamentally flawed, okay? But there may be flaws, there may be errors. As a country, we want to have a certain kind of a register that we can all be very confident in. If you disenfranchise 3, 4, 5 people, that's one more than enough, okay? So as much as possible, at CFI, we believe that we should have a credible register. And I believe the EC is working hard at it. The only thing is that a party has raised issues, okay? And they feel very strongly about it. What do we do? We need to get them to sit at the table and other parties should join them. And we are pretty sure there'll be a breakthrough. We will come to some agreement because on December 7th, we will go to the elections. And when we go, we'll have to vote for this person or the other. It's important that we sit down.
Thank you very much. That there is Dr. Angela Dramina Bwaje. She is the chairperson of the Civic Forum Initiative. We have a statement now from the police.
Given an update on everything that transpired today across the 16 regions, they begin by thanking the general public for their cooperation. They also talk about the fact that the demonstration ended peacefully in all locations, with the exception of an isolated incident at Kumasi in the Ashanti region. They give further details to what exactly happened in Kumasi. They say, contrary to the arrangement agreed between the police and the organizers, the demonstrators attempted to push their way into the premises of the Electoral Commission and pelted the police with stones. The police managed to bring the situation under control and calm was restored. However, one police officer was injured during the incident and he is currently receiving medical attention. And it adds that the Inspector General of Police himself, Dr. George Akufo-Dampare, has reached out to this particular police officer via telephone call and wished him well, and that the police has since commenced investigating into the incident, and goes on to thank all stakeholders, including the organizers, the demonstrators, the Electoral Commission, the media, and the commuting public for their cooperation throughout the exercise. And it concludes by saying that the IGP and the entire leadership of the police service is expressing their profound gratitude to all police officers across the country for their continuous patriotic dedication and commitment to security, law and order in our beloved country.
And we've also heard from ECOWAS today, and they say that the state institution, the Electoral Commission, has the capacity to conduct an audit. And the calls to the likes of ECOWAS and the UNDP is one that they've heard, but they'd rather leave that decision to the Electoral Commission. There's a lot on this across our social media platforms and on myjoyonline.com. You can follow that for yourself. And Georgia Faye is here, though, with business.
And right after business, we'll take you to the Alisa Hotel. Well, the ad hoc committee on Galamsey meeting with organized labor ends inconclusive as TUC places 6 new demands before government, demanding engagement with chiefs and other stakeholders. Let's do business now. George, what do we have?
Well, MFA coming up in business. Bank of Ghana Governor Dr. Ernest Addison highlights progress made to de-risk the agricultural sector as more commercial banks are now lending to businesses and firms in that space. And UK government announces a £2 million fund to support technological innovation in Ghana and Nigeria. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Syntex Tanks, and Pepsodent, Herbal and Charcoal.
You see them. You see them every day in our communities, doing what they do best to make a difference in the lives of people. You see them. You see them bring positive transformation to the lives of people in the areas of education, health, and economic empowerment. While many will see them and turn their faces away, you see them. You see their efforts and you know they're heroes who deserve to be celebrated. MTN Heroes of Change is setting out to unearth and to celebrate a new set of heroes. You can throw the light on the heroes you see in your community by nominating them to win 100,000 Ghana cedis and other prizes to help them expand their work. Just fill an online nomination form at mtn.com.gh or send a WhatsApp with a 1-minute video of your nominee's project on 055-141-1122. Deadline for nominations is 18th October 2024. So don't waste time. Nominate your hero now. MTN Heroes of Change. Be the change you wish to see.
Hooray! Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited's back to school promotion is here with us once again. From August to September this year, Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited is giving a generous 10 to 20% discount on all school items like textbooks, pens, pencils, erasers, exercise books, and much more across all our branches in Accra, Tema, Kumasi, Takrade, Winneba, and Cape Coast. Parents, teachers, and students, please hurry while stocks last. For more information, call us on 0506-487-557 or 0302-764-209 or via email at info@kingdomgh.com. You can also visit our website www.kingdomstoreonline.com. Kingdom Books, where quality and affordability are both assured. Terms and conditions apply.
We have a new leader in town, OBRNT. Amafo, me don't want to see the brain. Mabey, maybe mamu more charcoal for whiter teeth.
More charcoal.
Not only that, maybe mamu lemon.
More lemon.
Zinc for fresher breath.
More zinc.
And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Introducing the new President Charcoal packed with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
National Health Insurance.
Great news! The National Health Insurance Scheme, NHIS, has waived the waiting period for all members aged 70 years and above. All 70 years and above are also exempted from paying a premium. Enrollment and renewal are absolutely free on the NHIS. Members who are 70 years and above can automatically access healthcare when they newly register with the NHIS or renew their membership annually. You are no longer required to serve the 1-month waiting period for late renewals. Dad, mom, grandpa, and grandma, let your old age be filled with good health and access instant healthcare at zero cost on the NHIS today. Download the My NHIS mobile app to register with your Ghana card or visit the nearest NHIS office. Terms and conditions apply. For details, contact the NHIS call center on 054-444-6447 or 0302-746-447. NHIS, your access to quality healthcare. This message is brought to you by the United States Agency for International Development, USAID.
The luckiest
*712#
luck is everywhere for everyone.
Coma and Nafufua, a dialing *712# and found no regrets. A side coma investors are striking gold. A coma health workers are a diagnosing lack with precision. A side coma that tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. They say a coma passionate farmer on also entering containing a joy. A fake to the seamstresser or turning the hard end stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, a coma, if you say your next big win is right here.
Dial *712# and join the luckiest winning celebration. From the 1st of July 2024, dial *712# to keep buying tickets as a group, individual, or even as a community. Win loads of cash and prizes in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712#. Join the winning streak now.
The luckiest
*712#
luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah, the luckiest.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, Bank of Ghana Governor Dr. Ernest Addison has highlighted program made by the Central Bank to help de-risk the agricultural sector. The governor has been talking about how the establishment of the Ghana Incentive-Based Risk-Sharing System, agricultural lending, has also helped in improving lending to that area, which used to be a challenge in the past. The governor was speaking at the 5th anniversary launch and the Rubber Chain Conference in Accra.
Over the past 5 years, GESSEL has issued credit guarantees valued at over 604 million Ghana cedis to 17 financial institutions, covering up to 70% of credit default risks. Under the credit guarantee scheme, GESSEL has launched or channeled 1.8 billion of Ghana cedis worth of loans at relatively lower interest rates to about 137 agri-businesses located in 72 districts across 15 regions. In its operations, GESSEL recognized the untapped potential in the rubber sector and stepped in to facilitate the entry of indigenous processes.
Bank of Ghana Governor Dr. Ernest Addison. Now, the UK government has announced the setting up of a £2 million fund to strengthen science, technology and innovation in Ghana and Nigeria. The UK Minister for Africa, Lord Collins, made this known at the short ceremony in Accra to announce call for proposals to fund the fund.
It was a great first step to attract potential investors and donors, and I'm sure many more steps will follow. That brings me to the second thing that the United Kingdom is doing to boost our partnership, and it gives me great pleasure to launch this Sankore call for proposals in partnership with the governments of Ghana and Nigeria, named after the historic Sankore University, that renowned medieval centre of learning. The fund will provide almost £2 million to strengthen technology and innovation across West Africa.
Lord Collins is the UK Minister for Africa. Now, more firms are reducing the price of petroleum products at the pumps. The latest is PetroSol, which has dropped the price of petrol by some significant margin. It's selling a litre at 12 Ghana cedis, 88 pesos. Diesel, on the other hand, is also going for 13 Ghana cedis, 98 pesos. The development has been linked to the city's marginal stability and the continuous reduction in the price of crude oil on the international market. Meanwhile, the Chamber of Petroleum Consumers has maintained that it was surprised by the margin of reduction put out by most of the oil marketing companies. Duncan Amwa is the executive secretary of the Chamber of Petroleum Consumers.
We're looking at between 4% and 5%. The market has responded with about 8%, and overall that should be some good news for those of us running the streets buying fuel morning to evening. And this for us is a very positive development. Again, we foresee a situation where prices could decline further even in the coming weeks, especially for the month of October. November, December, we cannot say, because if you check the price curve, those are very tight months where China, India, the US would demand more for manufacturing. And so oftentimes that's where the curve would bend again. But between now and end of October, if we are able to do, some currency management, there's every indication the market could even pass through all prices.
Duncan Amwa is the executive secretary of the Chamber of Petroleum Consumers. Now, telecoms firm MTN has pledged its commitment to grow the local economy by supporting more small businesses. Chief Executive Tevin Blewett noted that it is offering targeted solutions to address the needs of small firms could help accelerate the growth of the sector. He spoke at the 2024 Ghana Industrial Summit, an expo where MTN outdoored its Yellow Biz, the holistic business solutions for small businesses.
And our commitment is to be a part of growing the economy, but in particular in dealing with small and medium enterprises, because we have small and medium enterprises that supply us as MTN. Supporting the value chain is important to us. And as part of that commitment, we're launching today Yellow Biz, which is an innovative and creative solution that our enterprise team has put together. And this product will allow SMEs to not only connect, it gives them a device to connect, but it gives them access to the Microsoft 365 suite to help them to grow their businesses. Because for us as MTN, the more successful enterprises are in Ghana, especially SMEs, the more successful we are.
Stephen Blewett is the chief executive of MTN Ghana. And that's all for Business on Newsnight. Back to you, Evans.
And you're still live here on Newsnight. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. And I'll be sharing your thoughts with the rest of the world pretty shortly here on the program. I will also be taking you into the election headquarters pretty soon also. And a report about teen pregnancy you want to look forward to here on your election headquarters.
Election Headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, CIMA, and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, and Youth Bridge Foundation, bridging the gap for positive youth development.
And then the National Democratic Congress is rejecting findings of a recently conducted survey by the Director of Research at the Office of the President, Jubilee House, which says scandals and poor decisions could jeopardize the MPP's chances of breaking the eight in the December 7 elections. A leaked document authored by the Director of Research at the Presidency, Dr. Isaac Owusu, revealed the runoff in the presidential elections. The report says that the NDC, not the MPP, will secure enough, an outright majority in the first round. My colleague Elton Broby has more in this report.
Joy News understands that the survey was commissioned by the presidency to assess the popularity of the MPP and its candidate, Dr. Mamadou Bawumia, ahead of the December 7 presidential election. The survey, which included views from over 28,000 voters across the 276 constituencies, showed that 80% of participants have already decided which party they will support. The findings suggest a split in voter preference, with 46.3% of respondents prepared to vote for the NDC and the same percentage for the MPP, indicating that neither party is likely to achieve a clear majority. Additionally, the survey identifies a segment of undecided voters, 9% who have chosen not to participate primarily due to dissatisfaction with politicians. A notable 7% cited the election day as a Holy Sabbath day, particularly in the Western, Bono, Ahafo, Western North, and the Ashanti regions. Despite this segment, the strong alignment and high decision rate among majority of voters suggests their impact may not be sufficient to avoid a runoff. The report also highlights that former President John Mahama currently has higher visibility in the constituencies compared to Vice President Dr. Bawumia. A further breakdown shows that the MPP Bawumia is popular among Christian voters, whilst the NDC Mahama is popular among Muslim voters, including the Zongos. Other key findings in the report include the fact that 60% of voters base their choice on party manifestos. There are also some takeaways for the government. Scandals and bad decisions of government stand tall. According to the report, these create the unnecessary disaffection within the party as well as amongst independent-minded voters. The report also identified voter apathy as a major threat to the MPP in the December elections, especially among core supporters in the party's strongholds.
Well, responding to the findings, the NDC says they will win the elections in one round. Musa Fakbande is the Deputy General Secretary.
After so-called one village, one dam, one district, one factory, agenda 111, planting for food and jobs, $1 million, one constituency, and all NAPCO and all of that, you claim you have done all of this. They claim Ghanaians are satisfied. In the history of this country, from the time of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, no president have developed Ghana like. If you are still battling with incompetent NDC at 46 point what percent?
Three.
2.5 months to election, it means you have lost. What it means is that you have lost. You've lost, you've been rejected. If they were saying that they were even doing 55%, then I would be a bit scared.
And it doesn't scare you at all.
No, no, no. What it means is that you have lost. Because, look, they have normalized corruption. They have normalized opulent behaviors. They have normalized everything unthinkable in governance. They have abused state institutions. They've collapsed companies. Businesses are folding up. Investor confidence is dead. Of course, what else will you expect? His Excellency John Dramani Mahama is going to win the election because the NDC is more prepared, fortified, ready, deliberate and intentional about winning the 2024 election.
Well, the MPP's flag bearer, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia, has been campaigning in the Greater Accra region today. He's been in the Bone Katamansa constituency, where he's been promising to introduce community mining schemes that will ensure that small-scale mining industry is sanitized and regularized.
Is that we are a country of religious tolerance, peace and religious tolerance. In my own family, half of us, my father had 17 children, 9 of us are Christians, 8 of us are Muslims, right in my own family. And even though I am a Muslim as vice president, I am also the patron of the Methodist Boys Brigade of Ghana. And this is what is beautiful about our country, that we are able to live with each other in peace and in tolerance. So if by the grace of God I become president of this country, I will be a president for all of Ghana.
And that is Dr. Mahmood Bawumia on the campaign trail. It's now time for sports, and Granton is here.
Hi, Evans. Let's go straight into the stories and Joy Sports coverage of the 2024-25 UEFA Champions League campaign starts later tonight at 7 p.m. on Hits FM. Featured game is between AC Milan and then Liverpool. It is a repeat of the 2007 and the 2005 UEFA Champions League finals. A couple of games have already happened already today. Juventus, they were 3-1 winners over PSV, as well as Aston Villa beating Young Boys of Bern by 3-0. That brings an end to sports. Back to you, Evans.
Thank you very much, Granting. So live here on News Night on Joy 99.7 FM.
And it's time for hashtag No to Galamsey. And that five-member ad hoc committee set up by government have been locked up in deliberation with stakeholders over the devastating Galamsey menace. Evans, last night you were engaging Labour on this particular issue, whether they will be part of this meeting. There were meetings they held today. After that meeting, they agreed to meet the five-member ad hoc committee in spite of the earlier stance that they took. Well, the committee chaired by the Minister for National Security, Albert Kandapa, is expected to assess the effectiveness of the measures implemented to address the environmental damage caused by illegal mining across the country, and then also recommend better measures government can adopt effectively to address the situation. There was a development at today's meeting, and my colleague James Kwesi Aveji has been there all day for our speech camp there and joins us in studio. What happened?
Well, MFA, the other members of the committee, which are the Land Minister himself, the Information Minister, the Defense Minister, as well as the Labor Relations Ministers, were all in that meeting, and that happened between them and the organized labor. Now, after the meeting, they wouldn't let us in, and so we caught up with organized labor General Secretary, Mr. Joshua Nsang, who said that their demands have increased from 3 to 6 at that meeting.
Originally, in our press statement, it was 3, inclusive additional ABC, making it 6, but in disguise, it was 3. State of emergency, declaring state of emergency, deploying the police, and also revocation of the LI 2462. Now, at this meeting, we have added 3 more important additions, and they are the EI 234 to be revoked. Number 2, chiefs who are the custodians of our lands are to be brought on board. I mean, the various stakeholders who matters in this matter are to be brought on board. And finally, depoliticization of this Galamsey menace. Yes. The one party is saying that when I come to office, I will allow. One party is saying that I will not allow. They are jeopardizing with our lives. And Ghana is not for NDC, Ghana is not for MPP. So what organized labor is demanding is that both parties, including EDIS, who want to rule this country, should be asked or compelled to sign a pact on their position on this Galamsey menace. Whether you are in power or want to come to power, let us know your position on this Galamsey menace before it is too late. We are giving them up to a week for them to declare and sign on this pact. We are going to work on it. We are not going to allow this pact to be prepared by them. We are going to prepare it to the way we want it to be done.
You know, that's surprising because yesterday, like I said, Labour, first starting with the Federation of Labour, Ibrahim Kumsin told you right here on Newsnight that they were not going to attend that particular meeting. The Media Coalition Against Illegal Mining also mentioned that they were not going to attend. TUC also mentioned that they were going to have meetings and then decide whether to attend. At least they were there. Did you see the Media Coalition?
Media Coalition was absent. In fact, I spoke with the convener, Ken Ashigbe, and he said that until their demand for state of emergency is declared, they have no business meeting anyone from government on this. But all the same, they'll be meeting next week with a larger group to see the way forward.
That's so, the ad hoc committee.
The ad hoc committee will have another meeting with a larger. Today's have been mainly organized labor, so we'll see which other groups will be attending next week.
Okay. We'll continue to follow that ad hoc committee then.
And you're live here on News Night. Now, rising teenage pregnancies in Mafi Amfoy in the central Tong district of the Volta region is causing deep concern among community leaders. 17-year-old Adam, now a mother of 6-month-old baby, struggles with poverty and the burden of raising her child. Adam's path mirrors that of many girls in her village, where early motherhood often traps them in a cycle of hardship. With education disrupted, Adam fears returning to school may remain out of reach. Emmanuel Jibenu reports.
Just like an unwelcome weed in a fertile soil, teenage pregnancy has got community leaders worried.
Most of the youth now are dropouts. Some because after their GSS, they don't have any other way to do. It is creating a lot of teenage pregnancy in the community.
Meet 17-year-old mother, Edem. She's currently nursing a 6-month-old baby. Life is difficult for the family, and to even afford one meal a day is a luxury. Edem recounts how she was lured into having sex with a male friend when he promised to cater for her.
I got pregnant in class 6. My parents were unable to cater for me. One boy in our community said, "You cater for me." After some time, he forced and had sex with me and got me pregnant.
Her education is disrupted because parenting has now taken the front role.
The pregnancy has really affected my education. It may take a very long time to return to school. My child would have to start walking before I return to school.
Teenage parents, particularly mothers, usually struggle to provide for themselves and their babies. This often leads to a cycle of poverty.
At times, we sleep on empty stomach when my auntie is unable to provide us food.
Delight gave birth just after completing senior high school. She felt indebted to a letter agent who had supported her through school after her mother died.
When I was school, I see the system is hard for my parents. Across the site, I took a guy that he was also helping me.
To be able to fend for herself and her 6-month-old baby, she helps in the garri processing business. Delight yearns for a return to school.
I'm in the house. And it happened. Financial problem. If not, it will not happen like this. And along the way, I don't even know my father. It was only my mother throughout. So you know the pressure that she will be having. By now, I'm selling some soap. I'm packing this thing, the profit. So if time goes on, I will go back to school again.
There is, however, the need to go beyond addressing the immediate consequences of teenage pregnancies.
Employment is one. These days, our youth, though they are in agriculture, but they also need some technical skills. If they are trained in other fields to help the youth of this community to develop their self.
The community's involvement, along with concerted efforts from educational institutions, healthcare providers, and local authorities, will play a pivotal role in fostering an environment that encourages growth, understanding, and ultimately a brighter future for the upcoming generation. Emmanuel Juvenu for Joy Prime.
My name is Evan Spencer.
I am MFA Pau, and that's how we wrap up tonight's edition of Newsnight. It's time for the geeks to take over.